The Count of Monte Cristo. From Hollywood, the Don Lee Network presents Carlton Young in The Log of the Black Widow, another adventure in the exciting life of The Count of Monte Cristo. More than a century ago, King Louis-Philippe of France was constantly on guard against the intrigues that threatened his country. From across the borders came spies who added coal to the fire of dissension that burned within the homeland. The king could trust few men, but he numbered among his confidants daring patriots whose keen mind and flashing sword never failed the cause of justice and the common citizen. This hero of many a twice-told legend was Edmond Dantès, the fabulous Count of Monte Cristo. Home of the Count of Monte Cristo. The Count is reading under a shaded lamp whose cheerful glow forms a contrast to the rainstorm beating against the casement windows. Nodding in the well-upholstered chair is René Michon, his good friend and faithful secretary. The striking of an antique clock arouses René.
Midnight. The witching hour. And I might add, an excellent night for ghouls and evil spirits to sally forth.
Perhaps, René, it would be advisable to close the north window. The rain is slanting against it, and we wish neither ghouls nor rainwater to disturb it.
Certainly, monsieur. but I am growing sleepy.
Well, may I suggest a journey to your bedchamber?
Sensible suggestion, monsieur. But I must confess that curiosity conquers drowsiness.
Curiosity?
Yes, about the expected visit of the Baron François Montigny.
The message from his courier was rather mysterious.
Asking you to spare him the time for an interview in this weather and so late at night.
Yes, he should have been here at least an hour ago. Perhaps the storm...
Well, dawn it should end if I disturb it, but a young lady is asking for you.
A young lady? At this hour?
What is her name, Bertuccio?
Signorina Jeannette Fortier.
Jeannette Fortier? Do not recall her.
Well, I have seen beautiful ladies pursue you before, monsieur, but never in a storm like this.
She said you would know her brother, Henri, and Signore Conde, if you will permit me to remark it. She is so beautiful and in such a... how you say, a distress, that it is difficult to
remember. Henri Fortier. Wait, I do remember him. Bertuccio, I'll see the young lady.
Thank you, Excellency. I bring her to you immediately.
Monsieur, just who is this Henri Fortier?
A young man of great promise, René. He first came to my attention when he was an ordinary seaman before the mast on one of my clipper ships. He was so courteous and willing to learn that I taught him the rudiments of navigation. I believe that he later qualified as a ship's officer.
But whatever can his sister want?
Well, perhaps Henri's in some trouble.
And the Baron Montigny? He's due to arrive at any moment, sir.
As the owner of a merchant fleet of swift clippers, the Baron is a very important man, René. Nevertheless, the welfare of Henri Fortier is important to me.
La Signorina Jeannette Fortier.
Monsieur Lacombe, a thousand pardons for this intrusion, but you are the only one to whom I can turn.
Mademoiselle, I hope that I can be of service. May I present my trusted friend and companion, Monsieur Michon?
Monsieur.
A pleasure, mademoiselle. Allow me to take your cloak. You will find this chair particularly comfortable.
Thank you. Has your servant told you that I am the sister of Henri Fortier?
He has, mademoiselle. Is your brother in some difficulty?
He is stricken with a fever, monsieur, and is delirious.
Has he had medical attention?
Oh, yes. Everything possible is being done for him.
Well, how can I be of assistance?
I'm not sure.
Not sure, mademoiselle?
I must echo René's astonishment. I should like to help, but I shall have to know how. If money is required, you need feel no embarrassment.
Oh, you are kind. So very kind, monsieur. Just as Henri described you. I beg that you will not call my worries mere wanderings of an hysterical mind.
Of course not, mademoiselle. What has happened?
My brother Henri recently returned from a voyage to America. He was aboard a clipper ship.
As an officer?
Thanks to your interest, monsieur, he sailed spared mate. Fever broke out on the ship. Henri fell victim to it.
I'm sorry, mademoiselle.
He seemed to recover, but then suffered a relapse and was forced to bed again. Over a period of days, his mind has been affected.
Well, in what way, mademoiselle?
Any number of times he has dressed himself and attempted to go to his new ship, despite my explanations that she's already sailed. His poor delirious brain cannot grasp the truth.
When he has recovered, I shall see that he has a second mate's berth on one of my ships. That assist you in solving your troubles.
You are most generous, monsieur. Your offer will be of great value to Henri's future. I fear, however, that it will not solve the present danger.
Indeed, mademoiselle?
It is... Oh, please do not laugh. The faces at the window.
Faces at the window?
Tell me exactly what you have seen, Mademoiselle Fortier.
I have not seen these faces. Henri claims to have seen them peering through the window into his sick room.
Probably just the effects of the delirium.
That is what I thought, until tonight. I was preparing some hot broth for Henri when I heard him cry out. Rushing into his room, I saw that the window was open and swinging in the gale. My brother was muttering about the faces. Faces of men who wished to capture him.
The wind could have blown the window open.
That occurred to me, but I investigated. Monsieur le Comte, I saw marks of a knife on the casement. The latch on the window had been forced open.
Mademoiselle, did you inform the gendarmes?
I've been to them twice, telling them about my brother's fears. They merely insisted that he was delirious. So tonight, rather than see them, I found a carriage for hire and came to you.
I hope you did not leave your brother alone.
Oh, no, monsieur. There is old Pierre Bosseau, a distant relative who lives in the village of Saint-Germain. He's been staying at the cottage to help me care for Henri.
This Pierre Bosseau is old, you say?
Oh, yes, and feeble. I took all possible precautions, however. The door has a strong bolt, and we piled furniture in front of Henri's window. When I left, old Pierre was doing his best to nail boards across the other casement.
Then there's no time to lose. René.
Yes, monsieur?
Please follow my instructions carefully. Have the second coachman...
Excellency.
Yes, what is it, Bertuccio?
The Baron Montaigne calls upon you.
Very good. Show him in, please.
Will you mind, Excellency?
Now, René.
Yes, monsieur. Have the second coachman...
Take you and Mademoiselle Fortier to her cottage at once. Have two of our strongest and most dependable servants accompany you. Guard Henri Fortier until I arrive.
Yes, monsieur. And when will you arrive?
I shall have Battistan drive me there the moment I have concluded my conference with Baron Montigny. Mademoiselle, what is your address?
It is on the Rue de Vanvey, number 18 in Saint-Cloud. Oh, monsieur, I cannot thank you.
Do not take time to thank me, mademoiselle. That side door leads to the courtyard.
This way, mademoiselle. I have your cloak.
Thank you, monsieur.
You are so very kind. Signore Conde. The Baron Francois Montigny.
It is good of you to see me at this late hour, my dear Monte Cristo. I'm here at the command of His Majesty King Louis Philippe.
I assumed that your visit was one of importance. What does the King desire of me?
Some information. But first, I must tell you what has taken place. Recently, I purchased a new clipper ship, the Black Widow.
Rather a sinister name.
It was painted a dead black. Black Widow seemed appropriate. I had no idea that she would claim the life of a man on her first voyage. But more of that in a moment. I added her to my merchant fleet and sent her on a maiden voyage to Boston and then back to Cherbourg. On this trip, she established a record for the fastest day sailing in history. In 24 hours, she covered 359 miles.
Remarkable.
That you say, most remarkable. This performance was undoubtedly due to certain radical departures in her design.
Small wonder His Majesty is interested.
Ah, you have guessed the nature of tonight's conference. As you know, the clipper ships have followed the pattern of our fast French men of war. Any improvement is of extreme importance to the Navy.
Temporarily, at least.
I do not follow you, my dear Count.
We cannot ignore the steamboat. It is already proving itself.
True, yet we cannot be too radical. There is the question of fuel, and some of the steamboats have exploded. But this is beside the point. Now, this record-breaking sale must be kept a secret. Foreign powers must not know of it.
But what are the ship's officers who kept the log? They would be the first to boast of such an achievement the moment they arrived in port.
Fortunately, Captain Letar of the Black Widow realized the significance of the record. He kept it a secret from the crew and instructed the ship's officers to remain silent. Letar is a man of utmost integrity.
Can the officers be trusted?
The first mate, Delphos, has sailed on my ship for many years. I can vouch for him. Belanger, the second mate, fell victim to a fever that broke out aboard ship. While delirious, he wandered away from his cabin and evidently fell overboard. You will recall my remark about the Black Widow claiming the life of a man. Most tragic occurrence.
I assume that the only other person who could have seen a ship's logbook containing a description of the record was the third mate.
Yes. His name is Fortier.
Fortier. Do you refer to Henri Fortier?
I do. We discovered he once served you. That is why the King wished me to see you immediately. His Majesty is concerned about the secrecy of this information and desires your opinion of Fortier's character.
I have every reason to believe that Henri can be trusted. There is, however, a danger.
A danger? You do not have complete confidence in him?
My fears do not concern his character. Tonight, his sister came to me with word that Fortier still suffers from the fever that took the life of your second mate. He's had a relapse and is delirious.
Ah, I follow your thinking. A fever-ridden tongue might unwittingly reveal the secret. He must be carefully guarded.
I've just sent my secretary and two servants to the Fortier cottage.
Then Henri has said something. And you knew the situation even before my visit.
No, Monsieur Le Baron. I sent Rennie for another reason. There is strong evidence that an attempt is being made to abduct Henri Fortier. Men have tried to break into the cottage.
Then there's a flaw in our carefully laid plans. Somehow a rumor has reached foreign agents.
So it would appear. If Henri were held prisoner while delirious, there's every possibility that information could be obtained from him.
But who could have let the secret escape?
Are you sure that Beranger, the second mate, is actually dead?
No one saw him fall overboard. There is the fantastic possibility that he is still alive.
Who else knows about the Black Widow's record-breaking besides the persons you've named?
There's Admiral Gerard Durac.
And where is the logbook that describes the passage?
At the Admiral's offices. But he would be sure to guard it with the utmost caution. Of course, one of his subordinates might have seen it. This is a terrible situation. We must take steps immediately.
I told Rennie that I would go to the Fortier cottage as soon as you and I had finished our conference.
Then let us go without delay. The future of the French Navy is threatened.
And so is the life of a loyal citizen, Henri Fortier. That is, Dan.
Yes, Your Excellency.
We're coming to the house. Draw up as close to the door as you can.
Yes, Monsieur Le Comte.
Very thoughtful of you, Monte Cristo. I do not relish the thought of walking far in this mud.
Rennie is waiting at the door for us with a lantern.
Perhaps it's just the play of the light across his face, but I would say that he looks troubled.
We will soon know.
Oh, I'm so glad you have arrived. Something terrible has happened.
What is it,
Rennie? We were too late. Henri Fortier is gone.
Gone? Do you mean he's been captured?
According to the old man, Pierre Boisseau, he was taken prisoner by two men and carried off in a carriage shortly before we arrived.
Rennie, the situation has a deeper significance than we first suspected. This is Baron Montigny, who has reason to believe that the abduction of Henri is the work of foreign agents.
Oh, monsieur, what does it mean?
There's no time for explanations, Rennie. Where is Pierre Boisseau?
Oh, the poor old fellow is in the kitchen. You'd best talk to him yourself. He's so upset, it's almost impossible to understand his story.
Has Jeanette Fortier?
She is in her room, monsieur. I prevailed upon her to rest for a few moments. The servants are guarding the cottage. The kitchen is in here.
Please do not punish me. It was not my fault. I swear it was not my fault.
There, Monsieur Boisseau, calm yourself. We know you did no wrong.
I was trying to protect Henri. That is how it happened.
Yes. Just tell us what took place. Slowly and carefully.
Yes. And who might you be, monsieur?
I am the Baron Montigny. This is the Count of Monte Cristo.
And on your honor as nobleman, you will not cause me any harm.
If your story is an honest one, you have nothing to fear.
Oh, it is honest enough. You see, gentlemen, after Jeanette left tonight, Henri was again seized with the idea that he must join his ship. He began to dress, shirt, trousers, and shoes. In vain, I tried to stop him. And then his sudden energy expended, and he fell back on the bed as though in a trance. And I removed his shoes and covered him with blankets.
You did not attempt to undress him?
Please, Monsieur Le Baron, do not say that I did wrong. I did only what I had to do. I had to finish nailing boards across the windows on the inside. It was my promise to Jeanette.
Yes, of course. I understand.
I managed to secure all the windows except one. The window in the room next to Henri's bedchamber.
Well, why did you neglect that?
I did not neglect it. I had no more nails. The boards were sufficient, but there were no nails. Who can nail without nails? Now answer me that, good gentleman.
An impossible task.
Why, of course it is impossible. So I went to find nails. I came back into the kitchen. I looked in the cupboard. No nails. I looked on the shelf. No nails. I looked everywhere.
And there were no nails.
No.
I think we understand, Monsieur Boisseau. Now, please tell us what happened.
But I searched for a long time, and then I thought I heard a noise. I ran to Henri's room, and he was gone. I ran to the unbarred window, and it was open. Outside, I saw two men, and they were forcing Henri into a carriage.
Could you see their faces?
Yes, monsieur, I could, in the light of the carriage lamp.
Did they see you?
But I do not know. They may have. There was a light in the room.
Well, how long ago did this happen?
It is hard to say. Not too long ago.
Then there's a chance that we can follow that carriage.
But how, monsieur? They will be far ahead of us by now.
Few vehicles travel in this district in that bizarre. The mud caused by the rainstorm should reveal the wheel tracks left by the criminals. Rennie, I must ask you to remain here with our servants to care for Mademoiselle Jeanette. The Baron and I will go with Battistan in my coach.
And I also shall accompany you.
But you're very tired, monsieur, and you've had a trying experience.
Yes, but I have my duty. I allowed him to be captured, and now I shall help to save him. I insist.
Very well, then. Let us go at once.
Now, gentlemen, watch closely at this point. Three roads meet here. We might lose the wheel tracks.
That is clear. The track's still clear.
It is sometimes difficult to see with only the coach lights, Your Excellency, but we have not lost them.
Ah, good. Be careful of this fork in the road. Might be confusing.
There is no trouble, Monsieur. The tracks follow the left-hand fork.
Excellent.
The left-hand road. And that is the route I take to and from my home in the village of Saint-Germain. You'd find it rather deserted.
You seem to know this district well, Monsieur Boisseau.
Oh, well, I should know it well. I walk it every day.
You walk from the village of Saint-Germain to Saint-Cloud?
Oh, no. I merely walk to the high road. Just enough exercise for a man of my age. And then some passing cart. You'll certainly give me a ride the rest of the way.
Slow. Your Excellency, I believe that the carriage stopped at this point. I thought you might wish to investigate.
I do indeed, Barrister. Baron, give me the carriage lantern, if you please.
Yes.
Thank you. Now, let us see. Oh, yes. The carriage pulled to the side of the road. See? Now, see what happened. The vehicle seems to have stood here for some time. You notice the horse is stamped in the mud.
Look. Here are footprints.
But why did the men leave the carriage?
Wait, here's a footprint that tells the story. A man, barefoot.
Henri. I had removed his shoes. That is Henri's footprint.
Seems to have jumped from the carriage and began to run.
And his captors followed this way.
Yes.
See?
Yes.
The tracks follow the road and then turn off.
Onto the grass. And are lost. Then the abductor's tracks return to where our carriage was waiting.
Henri, escape them. He may be hiding there in the forest.
If his fever-stricken body has survived the ordeal. Come along, let's go further through this underbrush.
Oh.
Wait.
What was that?
I heard nothing.
Oh. Comes from behind that bush. Hurry.
Oh. If he is hovering, he is alive.
He has wandered in a circle and come back to his starting point.
On my watch. In my watch. I must stand my watch.
He's still delirious. Let him carefully. We'll carry him to the car.
Yes. Take me to the bridge. I must get the shot.
That's it. That is, spread the coach blankets on the rear seat.
Immediately, monsieur.
Where are the charts? I cannot see the compass. There's a fog. A fog is rolling in.
Poor fellow. The fog is rolling in over his tortured mind.
Why, sir, hold the coach door open, please. Easy. Place him on the blankets and cover him well. That's it. Better stand, we're ready. Back to the Fortier cottage at once.
Immediately, Your Excellency.
Hello.
Fortier must have the best of care. I shall make arrangements in my household to have him and his sister remain under my roof until all is well. And, my dear Count, I would appreciate it if your servants would guard the cottage until I can put my plan into effect. It will be only a matter of hours.
The cottage will be well protected.
I shall never be at ease until the criminals are arrested.
Every effort will be made to do so.
And you have a plan?
Before noon today, I intend to visit the offices of Admiral Dulac. I am doubly concerned, Admiral Dulac. A naval secret is in peril, and so is the safety of a fine young ship's officer.
Yes, of course. I understand your position exactly.
Do any of your subordinates know of this matter?
Only very few, and I believe that they are absolutely trustworthy.
Who has seen the logbook of the Black Widow?
The ship's officers, His Majesty, Baron Montigny, and myself, no one else. I'm not surprised at the foreign agent's attempted abduction. Their chief interest is undoubtedly to locate the logbook. Much information about the performance of the Black Widow is contained in its pages.
The book is in a safe place?
Extremely so. If Monsieur Michon will move his chair, I will show you.
René? René?
Yes, what is it?
Admiral Dulac wishes to move your chair.
Oh, yes, of course.
Poor René had no sleep last night at the Fortier cottage.
I quite understand. Well, I pull this drapery aside, and you see the door of my confidential strongbox. There is only one key which is continually on my person. There it is. The history-making log of the Black Widow.
The Admiral is very kind.
These pages which you now have open Describe the way in which the fever broke out on the return voyage. If it had not been for the sickness and the storms that were encountered, it would seem logical that the Black Widow could actually have captured the record for the fastest transatlantic crossing.
Yes. It's extremely interesting.
Yeah. You're reading about one of the worst storms they encountered. You'll notice how pleased the officers were with the way the Black Widow handled in bad weather.
Yes. Yes, so I see. But, Admiral, we must not take any more of your time. Come along, Rennie. We must be off.
Yes, monsieur.
Admiral, you've been of great assistance.
Indeed. Well, hope you find time for some sleep, at least.
Good day, gentlemen.
Goodbye, and thank you, monsieur.
Hey, good day, Admiral DeLac. Oh, what a shame, monsieur, that you did not learn more from Admiral DeLac.
To the contrary, Rennie. I learned a great deal. Not from the Admiral, but from the log of the Black Widow.
But you merely glanced through its pages.
I saw enough to influence my future actions. Barristan, we're going to visit Henri and his sister, the Baron Montini's home. They should be there by now.
Yes, monsieur.
Monsieur, what did you see in the logbook?
Something that told me I have been wrong.
Wrong, monsieur?
I have assumed, as we all have, that foreign agents have been trying to abduct our young ship's officer.
Well, the evidence most certainly points that way.
No longer, Rennie. I'm now convinced that someone is trying to murder Henri Fortier. Mademoiselle, has your brother's condition grown worse?
No, Monsieur Le Comte, it is not that. Poor old Pierre Boisseau.
He has been seriously wounded by a bullet, obviously fired by one of the foreign agents he saw last night.
Then they must have seen him when he went to the window.
Yes. Where did this occur?
On the road. The left-hand road beyond the fork where he walks to the high road when he leaves our cottage.
Fortunately, the criminal's aim was bad. Old Pierre staggered to the high road where the gendarme took him to a hospital.
He insisted on walking the road as usual early this morning. He was anxious to reach home. Oh, it is so terrible.
Come, come, my dear. You must dry your eyes. Ah, here comes Dr. Vachon with permission, I am sure, for you to visit with your brother for a little while.
But not too long, if you please.
The patient is still very weak.
Would you care to see him, Monsieur Le Comte?
I shall send Rennie in my place. There's a question I should like to ask Dr. Vachon.
Then come with me, Monsieur Michel.
At your service, mademoiselle.
Dr. Vachon, I see you have your medical kit with you.
Like all doctors, I carry this bag with me. Why do you ask?
My coachman has crushed his finger. He waits outside with only a handkerchief for a bandage. Perhaps you'd be good enough to go to his assistance.
I have no such medicines in my chest.
No unguents of any kind?
None whatever.
Isn't that rather strange?
I do not think so.
But you will at least apply a proper bandage.
I have an important call to make. I have no time.
I demand that you treat my coachman.
Now, look here, Monte Cristo. This is my home. I have employed Vachon. You have no right to address the doctor in that manner.
I do not address a doctor. Vachon is one of your henchmen, hired by you to bring about the death of Henri Fortier.
My dear Count, you must have caught Henri's fever. You are delirious.
Is it delirium when I say that the log of the Black Widow is false? Am I fevered when I declare that you bribed the captain and the first mate to claim a record so that the shipbuilding firm who built the Clipper would get a naval contract?
Oh, ridiculous. Why should I do such a thing?
Because you have a secret financial interest in the shipbuilding company. You could hire men to serve you in your criminal plans, Montigny, but you knew that Henri Fortier could not be bribed. That's why you sent your assassins to kill him. Why, when they failed, you employed this fraudulent doctor to hasten Henri's death from fever.
Monte Cristo? You have placed yourself in a dangerous position. This rapier that hangs within a few inches of my hand upon the wall might easily run you through despite your boasted swordsmanship.
I accept the challenge on guard.
Rush on. Bring the horses to the side entrance. At once to the battle. When I have killed you, Monte Cristo, I plan to take an extended trip.
I fear that trip will be postponed.
Yeah, you are very confident.
Under other circumstances, I would enjoy this sortie. You're a very clever duelist, Monsieur le Baron. But I'm afraid I must conclude it.
My shoulder. Merci, monsieur.
I have no intention of murdering you as you tried to kill Fortier and poor old Boisseau. I shall give you to the gendarmes as a living example of greed and villainy.
It's been some time since we were in the village of Saint-Germain, monsieur.
Pierre will be overjoyed to see us. As happy as the day they allowed him to leave the hospital.
I'm anxious to see Boissard's garden.
Henri can remember every little path and sundial.
Yes, I used to play there as a child. When I was small, it seemed to be a great estate. Now it appears to be only the size of a pocket handkerchief. Do you enjoy gardens, Monsieur Lecomte?
More than the average person, Henri.
Is it not wonderful to be driving in the sunshine and speaking of gardens? When less than a month ago, we were under a cloud of tragedy.
We must forget that cloud, my dear.
You are right, Monsieur. But may I ask just one question about how you unmasked Montini's villainy?
And if he asks a question, Monsieur, I beg the same privilege.
Very well, then. Henri, what do you wish to know?
Well, how were you first certain that Montigny was a scoundrel?
Well, in addition to ourselves, he was the only one who knew the path regularly taken by Boisseau on his way to Saint-Germain from Saint-Cloud. Montigny obviously instructed his henchman to shoot the old man from that particular ambush.
Now, monsieur, is it my turn?
Yes, René.
What did you see in the log of the Black Widow that told you it was false?
The handwriting looked genuine enough, and was probably that of the captain and the first mate. At one point, however, the logbook described a storm, a very bad storm, in writing so smooth that it might well have been penned while floating on a mill pond. There, those are your answers.
Oh, but I, too, am going to claim one. Your chivalry cannot deny a lady.
Of course not, Jeanette. I must comply.
How did you know that Montigny was a secret partner in the shipbuilding firm?
You promised to keep the answer a secret?
Oh, I promise.
That, my dear, was a very fortunate guess.
Ladies and gentlemen, the star of our program, Carlton Young.
Thank you, Dick. Next week, friends, on the anniversary of the fall of the Bastille, we bring you a timely story that introduces a character that I'm sure you will find interesting. Until then, good night.
The Count of Monte Cristo is produced and directed by Jaime Del Valle and stars Carlton Young in the title role, with Parley Bear appearing as Granny Michonne. Others in our cast this evening were Jack Petruzzi, Virginia Craig, Jane Avello, Ed Coleman, Howard McNear, and John Daner. This adaptation of the character made famous by Alexander Dumas was written by Jay Fryer, with music by Dean Foster. This is Dick Wynn in...